This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campbell-Minosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning right back to you there, Ms. Laurie. How are you doing?
Doing great for a Monday.
Good. Okay, well, here's the weather report. By next Monday, we'll know whether I'm going to be on the show or not, because if we have a hurricane, it could kind of disrupt things like this good old show of ours.
So we'll have to see. On its current track, we're okay.
We're good. So we'll see. But now that I've given the weather report, everybody knows that there may be a hurricane. Let's talk a little bit about what we need to talk about today. There are some issues that just, like forecasting the weather, you just can't tell how these things are going to come out. And one of them happens to be this whole question about what Putin is doing with the nuclear bluff or not bluffing, and the degree to which what Biden intends to handle this particular issue. Okay, so I want to spend some time on what Biden said at the UN, because it's Biden, okay? So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then I want to talk a little bit about Putin and the escalation ladder if we're going down this road, and talk a little bit about, do we really want to get on some sort of a nuclear, alert here based on what were our commitment to Ukraine. It's something I think we need to kind of think about, all right? I also want to talk about a couple of other things that are out there, okay? One of them is Iran. The Iranians are going through another semi-revolutionary movement, just like we saw in 2009, where the people were in the streets. I want to talk a little bit about that, because Biden is doing the same thing that Obama did, playing up to the mullahs, trying to make sure that we get our nuclear deal back, okay? For Obama, it was trying to get the nuclear deal, and now for Biden, it's trying to get it back, okay? We definitely need to talk a little bit about what is going on with the FBI raid on a man in Pennsylvania who had been, you're looking like you haven't heard this one.
I didn't watch much news
then
this weekend.
Hang on there, and I'll tell you more about it.
Okay,
we want to hear about another FBI raid. What the hell are we doing here with them? I'm serious about trying to talk to the local FBI honcho, get him to come to one of our meetings, and at least explain what he thinks is going on. Okay, it'll be party line, but he may have to take some questions. We're going to try to do that. The other thing I want to talk about here is an education conference that's coming up that the Alabama Conservative Coalition is sponsoring. It's going to be in Enterprise, Alabama on Sunday, the 9th of October. And the title of it is basically, what is really going on in Alabama education? Okay, so I'll spend some time on that. Now, on the good news front, before I kick off, everyone knows that every time we have this show, I have to beg Lori for extra time. And she has been so gracious in doing that. But here's the deal. We're going to be able to extend the program for an extra half hour. And that's going to start at our Monday show on the 3rd of October. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Okay?
So now an hour show.
It is. I have an anonymous sponsor.
55 minutes, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you determine how long it is. An hour, whatever it is, okay?
Okay.
And I'm sure I'll ask. Actually,
I
can't.
Ask for more.
I can't ask for more because there's an 11 o'clock deadline or something.
Okay? There you go.
So we'll figure that out. Okay. So let's talk about Biden at the UN, okay? I saw some of the excerpts from his talk there, and then I read the transcript, okay? And I mean, it's amazing. It's all about Russia, Russia, Russia. No mention about Iran and China. Nothing. And then, of course, there has to be climate change. I mean, the climate change hoax was a major part of his talk, okay? And, of course, he's talking about how much support the United States is doing. Billions of dollars for this, billions of dollars for that, all related to climate change, to food supply. You know, the interesting thing about all this is that, number one, the country's broke, and yet We're putting billions out there for climate change here at home and across the oceans, all right? And what is so amazing about this is that by going back into the Paris Accords, we have now conceded once again to the international community that basically classifies India and China as what? Developing countries. Now, you and I know that that is just such, horse excrement, okay? That's all that is. And Senator Mike Lee has an amendment to a bill that's coming up that will classify China as a developing country. I mean, the fact is they've got more manufacturing, they produce all sorts of things. It's absurd to think that they are a developing country. And yet, that's what has happened. It's also interesting that both India and China are the biggest polluters in the world. And yet, they're not held to the same standard that other countries are in terms of trying to clean up their acts. Okay? So here again at the UN, with an opportunity to kind of call out some of the bad things that are happening with China and Russia, Iran, and North Korea. Oh no, silence. It's all about Russia. And I think that the degree to which, as we've said before, Biden is so compromised on his son's dealings with the Chinese that they own him. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, you know, as you might have seen, you know, on TV, he goes on TV with Scott Pelley, one of the CBS guys from, you know, one of their shows. And he says, in answer to a question, will you defend Taiwan? And he says, yes, of course. Now, again, we get back to the One China policy that started with Shanghai in 1972, modified in 78. But the point is, and here again, I mean, those of us who are supportive of Taiwan are glad to hear that he will defend Taiwan militarily. But it seems to me that he needs to get his story straight. He infuriates the Chinese when he says things like that, which is fine. Let them be mad about something. I mean, that's the only thing that they're going to be mad about with him because he's going to roll over for them. But the question is, you know, given his statements and given the importance of standing up for Taiwan, okay, pretty self-evident, that we need to have some clarity about what we're really doing with Taiwan. Okay? But notice how on the issue of Ukraine, we seem to have kind of gotten ourselves into a situation where, and I've said this before on this show, it's important that we stand up for the Ukrainians. I don't have that any doubt about that. But in the end, okay, what are our goals here? And I think that's what I want to try to talk about as we, you know, move off of Putin and his UN speech. But please understand that for climate change and Russia to dominate that speech does not seem to, how do I want to say this? Does not seem to recognize the totality of what is going on in the world. But this is nothing new with him. I mean, what he did in Afghanistan has laid the predicate, many argue, for Putin to believe that, well, there's Biden. He's just letting 20 years of a commitment to the Afghanis to go down the tube. And look at how it all turned out. It wasn't well planned, well executed. I mean, at least Trump was going to, you know, get out of there with a plan. And that plan was contingent upon certain conditions on the ground being met, which hadn't been met. So more than likely, if Trump had not been, you know, that election hadn't been stolen, we'd still be there doing what's necessary to make sure that ISIS and Al-Qaeda do not resurrect themselves. And now they are fully capable of doing that. They have another safe haven, just as they had before 9/11. That's what you're looking at. But my point is that how does Biden just miss this? And it comes from an ideological assumption that American foreign policy, and this is straight from the Obama playbook, American foreign policy is the cause of all the problems in the world. And so the best way to sort out Afghanistan is just pull the plug and leave, which he did. So now, though, that's the signal that Putin received upon, you know, watching what's happening in Afghanistan takes us into this area where he launches the war. So let's talk a little bit about this, okay? I think that his speech where he says, "I'm not bluffing," that's something that I think we have to take seriously. And the reasons are pretty apparent. Because for one thing, it's on the one hand, we're helping the Ukrainians deal with a problem that they did not create. Russia attacked them. And so we've naturally moved to assist them defend themselves. And I think I've suggested to you before that this is absolutely critical that we do this, because we can't let Putin just get away with being able to take this country, because the next thing he's going to do is launch an attack on the Baltic states, and from there, Poland's next. Where does he stop? Okay? I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Where does he stop? Well, that's one of these responsibility type questions that we have met in Ukraine, okay? Now, I've said this before to you all, you know, Biden was slow to do anything to help the Ukrainians with the equipment they needed to be able to defend themselves from day one. He was slow off the mark, okay? In all of 21. And again, I'm not going to repeat all of that, but the fact of the matter is that's the issue. There was no deterrence, because Putin understood that, at least he felt like, his army was going to be able to roll right over the Ukrainians. Well, surprise, surprise. Not only did they roll right over the Ukrainians, now they're in a position where they're losing territory, okay? And this bounces right back to Putin and the politics of what he attempted to do. Because the argument that Putin has put forth to his people, at least initially, was that Russian-supporting people in Ukraine wanted to join the Russian Federation. So he was going to be the one to take care of that. Okay? Now what is his tune? His tune is the West is trying to destroy Russia. Now, here again, notice how this is going to get complicated. Because see what they've done with the referendum in the Eastern Territories, which have always been the center of gravity for Putin. These Eastern Territories that had attempted to become part of Russia before the war started. That's where you've had all this conflict for the last 4 years. Okay? So now all of a sudden, the war in Ukraine is going to take on a different picture. Okay? What you're going to see is the absorption of those territories in the East into the Russian Federation. And what has Putin been saying about this?
Well, because he's been losing territory and getting his ass handed to him, he's now attempting to argue that the West, he's demonizing the West because the West wants to get rid of Russia. I mean, that's the theme of one of his recent talks, okay? Public pronouncements, making clear, you know, that he's laying the groundwork for such a possibility that because it's an attack on Russia itself now, he is justified in doing whatever it takes to do what? To defend Russia. So, what does he do? He raises the specter of having to use nuclear weapons. And once again, we get back to some difficulties for him. He's losing in Ukraine. He's had to call up 300,000 reservists. Notice what's happened in Russia. Lots of people are getting the hell out. Okay? I think I mentioned this last week. These municipal mayors calling for him to resign. So he has what has been classified as an existential political problem to keep himself in power. Now think about this, folks. An existential political problem to keep himself in power. So how does he do that? What are the means by which he can maintain himself in power? Well, he's got the secret police. They do all of that stuff, the FSB. They're arresting people right and left. Thousands have been arrested for protesting the war. Okay? So that's one element that he's got, you know, unless the FSB decides to turn on him. He's still got that to control, the people. But in essence, what is the source of his political problem? It's the war in Ukraine. And if that's the case, how does he turn that around? Okay? Now think about it for a second. Because if he's going to turn the war around, one could argue that putting more troops in there might help. Okay, fine. But look how unable the Russian troops have been able to do anything against the Ukrainians. And we can argue for days on end about why that is so. The why is less important at this point than the facts on the ground that matter. The Ukrainians are kicking their ass, and that's Putin's problem, okay? So that political problem, that military problem on the ground has catapulted him into this existential political problem. Now, what are the means by which he can turn things around on the ground in Ukraine? Well, I just mentioned maybe putting some more men in there, 300,000 or whatever it takes. But you know what? There's also something else, and he's alluded to it, the use of a nuclear weapon. Now, Lori, this is something that we need to be careful about, okay? Because think about this. What happens if he uses a tactical nuclear weapon to destroy some of the Ukrainians who are attacking the Russian forces and have them surrounded? What if he does that? What is the American response going to be? Are we going, and here again we get back to some Cold War analysis about the escalation ladder, okay? What happens if he pops a nuke and kills the Ukrainians? Well, you know Zelensky's going to be going crazy wanting the same thing to happen to the Ruskies, okay? So we could have a tit-for-tat response. Putin used a nuke. Well, we'll use a tactical nuke too. We'll do that. Now, you see where this goes, though, okay?
Very scary.
Yeah, exactly, okay? How long before tit-for-tat responses crosses the line to where, Now, all of a sudden, Putin's not gaining anything in Ukraine with his possible use of nukes. What if it becomes at least tactical in the sense that they're keeping it on military targets? What if he decides to drop a bigger bomb on Kyiv and just, we're going to end it that way? Okay? So he does that. What do we do? And here again, I get back to this whole question. What are our goals in Ukraine? What are our interests in dealing with the Ukrainian problem as we've done it? And again, like I said at the beginning of the program, it is in our interest to make sure that Russia is checked, okay? They can't just be allowed to go from Ukraine to the Baltic states to Poland and wherever else they want. Because if they can do that, the Chinese can do it too. And North Korea certainly wants to take South Korea. So everything kind of hinges on, you know, international order being restored by stopping Putin and Ukraine. I get that, okay? But, again, let's run the reel back to Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. Everyone knew that stopping the Russians and the communists from taking over the world, which that was their goal, really came right down to the United States being the lone power that could stand in the way of communist domination. Okay? Khrushchev and Kennedy went eyeball to eyeball, and Khrushchev blinked over the missiles that the Ruskies had put into Cuba. Okay? Now, that blink saved everyone from a nuclear holocaust. And the question you have to ask yourself at this point is, if Putin, facing this existential political threat to himself and what he considers to be Russia, is he going to blink if he goes ahead and escalates higher in Ukraine and takes out a city? Doesn't have to be Kiev, but just a city to show the Ukrainians, you can't win, end it now. What if he does that? What are we going to do? Are we going to say, it's in our interest to say, you did this, and we're already into tit for tat, you know, we're tit for tat on tactical nukes on military targets. Now all of a sudden, a Ukrainian city goes up. What is our tit for tat going to be?
What do you think the Biden administration will do?
I'm not sure. I don't think that they have thought this through sufficiently to where they have a clear picture of what the United States policy should be. Because Biden is an idiot, okay? All right? We all know that. I mean, like I said earlier, they keep changing the policy on China. He comes out and says, yeah, we're defending Taiwan, and then at least on three different occasions, his staff has to clean that up. Oh no, we're still with the, you know, the agreement, blah blah blah. Okay. So I mean, he certainly sounds pretty firm in terms of his speech at the UN. Blaming Russia, blaming Putin, you know, we're here to stop them, blah, blah, blah. So I guess on the one hand, the answer to your question is, you know, my feeling is that if we get on to the nuclear tit-for-tat ladder here, then I think that it's not in the United States' interest to go to a full-scale nuclear war with Russia over this. Now, does that mean that we blink? Not necessarily. I mean, there are other things that we can do besides getting into the tit-for-tat nuclear, you know, tactical nuclear exchanges. I mean, we could just ratchet up the sanctions to a very higher degree than what they are right now. We could send the Ukrainians even more conventional weapons. And notice what I said earlier at this. It took Biden, a long time to get off the dime to get the the Ukrainians the right kind of material for them to defend themselves. But once they got it, they started using it correctly. So the argument at this point is, all right, let's really start making the Russians pay a higher price for this. Let's give them the aircraft the Ukrainians want. Let's give them, you know, even more anti-aircraft and anti-missile capabilities. Shoot all of their stuff down, which they're doing a good job with that. But we can always do more. I've mentioned before on the program, giving the Ukrainians the Iron Dome. So on the one hand, you know, we're meeting Putin's escalation with a tactical nuke with a conventional response, keeping it off the nuclear ladder, the escalation ladder. I think personally that makes sense. And then the condemnation that will come out of Putin using a nuke may very well, you know, make it possible for us to back him down, make him pay a higher price, go after his fleet in the Black Sea, do the kinds of things that we were unwilling to do right now conventionally, because as I said to you, I don't think it makes any sense for the Ukrainians to have the capability of using aircraft across into Russian space and attack Russian logistic things. Now you say, well, Dr. Liu, that's just a give up strategy. And my reply to that is, no, it's not. The Ukrainians are doing quite well without having to go into Russia itself to bomb, you know, supply trains. So my feeling is that rather than getting sucked into this nuclear possibility, we can just improve on what we're sending them conventionally and just keep knocking the hell out of them. Now, then you say, well, Dr. Liu, that sounds good, but what if Putin decides that he's going to do more, as you suggested earlier? You know, he's just going to take out a city because they're not winning on the ground, even with the tactical nukes. All I can say then is, folks, let's see what happens, okay? Let's see what happens. But I don't think we need to get ourselves involved in some sort of a Biden idiot statement that's going to force us to get on the nuclear ladder in response to whatever Putin does. Okay? That to me makes more sense. Keep it conventional, but beat the hell out of them conventionally. So, as with the weather, we shall see what happens with this latest crisis, okay? So here's another crisis. It's 10:34. And so my great schedule here says, okay, I've got to talk about Biden and then Putin. I want to talk about Iran. I'm going to get through this real quick, and I'm sure Lori will give me an extra 3 minutes, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
So Iran and what's happening. If you remember the Green Revolution in 2009, that Obama stood by and watched people slaughtered in the streets when there was a revolution. And the reason he did that was because in October of 2008, he had sent a letter to Khomeini and basically said, we want to talk. We want to, you know, work with you. And so Obama dared not risk supporting the Green Revolutionaries when we had a chance to do that, okay? And we're gonna repeat the same damn thing because Biden and the same people who were in the foreign policy executive areas are still there now, and that's all they want. They don't care about Iran being the world's leading sponsor of terrorism. They don't care about the threat to Israel. They just want the nuclear deal, no matter what it costs to us and to the world. All I can say is I hope that the Israelis, and I heard the Israeli prime minister the other day talking about it, he understands what's happening. They are not going to let the Iranians get the bomb. End of story, okay? All right, what about this whole idea of right-wing government now coming back to Britain and to Italy? Whoa, this is good news. Good news. Now, I just wish that we could get a right-wing government, but guess what, in November, if we take, and the latest polls are showing that there's been a major swing towards the Republicans. The NBC poll that I saw this morning, you know, shows all the issues that we're concerned about, inflation, the border, blah, 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 as being on the key things for the American people. Let's hope it translates into something and the Republicans do their job and win on it. Now, this is an FBI story. This man in Pennsylvania, his name is Houck, H-O-U-C-K, has been going to Philadelphia every Wednesday to conduct counseling about abortions at these abortion centers. Well, a couple of months ago, there was an individual there who got into an argument with Mr. Houck and started abusing his son, who was there, 8-year-old kid. They had an altercation. The aggressor sued Mr. Houck. In court, the aggressor lost. Mr. Houck was deemed not responsible for anything that happened. That kind of means that you're innocent, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, guess what the FBI and the DOJ just did? They raided his house. 25 cars, 15, you know, FBI SWAT team people, 7 o'clock in the morning. Same crap that they pulled with Trump's people, you know.
Why?
Yes, yeah, exactly, why? Okay, and here's the short answer to the why. They are weaponizing and criminalizing any opposition to their agenda, okay? You don't like abortion? Too bad. Don't go around these you know, Planned Parenthood places and do anything that interferes with their business, and that's what it is, okay? So all I can say is that this is a major question in terms of what the FBI and the DOJ are doing. We've seen it. Mar-a-Lago was the tip of the iceberg, okay? All right. The question about education, I mentioned at the beginning of this, we're having this education conference. I would urge you all, we'll go to the Common Sense Campaign website, we'll get some information on there, but Enterprise is not that far from here. It's about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. It's going to be at a Baptist church in Enterprise. We'll have all the information there, and we're developing our list of speakers. We think it's going to be important because guess what, folks? If you're not happy with being 52nd in math, in the nation, then you need to do something about it. If you're not happy with the masking business that went on, we need to alert you to the possibility that these people here want masking. They think it's important because they're saving the kids. There's no reason to mask, okay? Again, issues pertaining to indoctrinating the students through Common Core and social and emotional learning. These are the kinds of things that we need to understand so that we can take effective action at our local school boards. So I'll get that information out, and we will see what happens. Okay, Laurie, thank you as usual. I am now 4 minutes over and moving quickly to the end. Folks, I do hope that we get through this hurricane business with just some nice rain that we need, okay? But if we don't, the best to all of you. Get yourselves prepared. Do what you have to do, and we shall see where we are next Monday.
On its current path,
yes.
We're okay.
We're okay. That's right. But
we all know it's subject
to
it. Change.
We'll have to see. But in any event, you all take care. Have a great week. See you later, I hope.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and the one in Malbus at 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of this program or you'd like to tell a friend about it, you can listen later at WABF1480.com, WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming.